Hey everybody, Michael Gunger here. So I put out this Instagram post this last week. I was at the gym and I was just sort of thinking about church. And, you know, I visited a few churches lately and hadn't really found anything that felt like I want to keep going back there. And I was like, I would love to find a place. Maybe I should just ask my Instagram people, my friends and followers, if they have any recommendations for me. So I just stepped outside for a second, made this video, and all of a sudden, all these views started accumulating. I was like, what? I mean, from my personal account, especially, I don't know if I've ever had like a big video happen. And especially lately, just pretty quiet on there. So I was just hoping for a few recommendations. And suddenly, you know, now at this point, there's been like a few hundred thousand views, I think like 1,600 comments or something just on Instagram. And I'm like, what? What's happening? Why do people care that I'm looking for a church? And I've been thinking about it the last few days. And so I wanted to share a few thoughts about that, why I'm looking for a church, why I think it's interesting that it's getting so much attention and conversation around this. And I thought it'd be a little easier to do that on a longer format, like a podcast, than just another Instagram post. So this is me kind of going into that a little bit, keep the conversation going and give you a little bit more, if you saw that post, a little more context and depth to the my side of things. So here we go. Welcome to the Liturgist Podcast and the Loving This Podcast. Okay, so first let me just tell you kind of why I'm looking for a church. I gave a brief synopsis of my story in the post, and I'll do that again, maybe a little less brief than the post was, but I grew up a pastor's kid, as some of you know, Christian, evangelical, charismatic Christian. We were kind of like the cult on the edge of town, saying that kind of tongue in cheek, but we definitely were like the weird church in town. Almost everybody else was Lutheran. We were the charismatic people, having revival services and getting slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues and laughing and all that stuff. And then moved, went to college, got a job as a worship leader, made a record with the church that was a worship record. It got signed. I started touring, you know, playing different events and churches and festivals, and eventually was playing like big arenas and even a couple stadiums and stuff with these big events. And over time, the band was growing and growing. And then I began to sort of publicly talk about some of the doubts that I'd been having. And I thought, you know, that I had been quite clear about it in my music, but apparently I think people maybe thought that me singing about my doubt was kind of like angsty artist and not really. No, I don't know if any of this is true. And so I publicly kind of processed a lot of that, and it got me in trouble. I lost a bunch of gigs. I became kind of a black sheep in the Christian music industry. And then started a podcast where we talked about a lot of that kind of stuff, about deconstruction and questioning faith and what it feels like to be alone in that, and in that sort of confession of loneliness and admitting that I didn't know how to think about this stuff, and finding other people who are also asking questions. All of a sudden we started kind of like finding each other, and a bunch of us were being less alone together in our deconstruction. Up until about 2016, there was a lot of seeking. I was doing a lot of seeking through different, first through Christianity and then kind of like all the different denominations. I tried to become Catholic for a little while. I was really interested in the Orthodox with apophatic theology. I loved Peter Rollins and, you know, his pyro theology. I loved all sorts of, I had phases, you know, N.T. Wright. And anyway, I don't have to go through all those. And then I went through another sort of out of Christianity seeking phase where I was doing a lot of meditating, going to meditation retreats and coming across other kind of teachers and Buddhism and Indian, a lot of Indian spirituality particularly resonated with me, and did a lot of seeking, looking for meaning, looking for explaining my mystical experiences that I had, even as a Christian, and even as a young person. And then I felt like I found what I was looking for. I saw in 2016 was the mechanism of seeking itself, if that makes any sense. Like I had been seeking, but not noticing that this seeking was part of my ego, that it actually kind of was the essence of my ego, that my sense of being separate and special and loved and knowing the truth were all kind of tied together. And it was tied together with, I want my dad to be proud of me, and I want my friends to think I'm cool, and I want people to think I'm sexy and awesome and good at guitar, and you know what I mean? All that stuff was in the same energy as, what is the exact nature of God? And up until that point, I just thought I was being clean and you know, logical or something. And so seeing that kind of took the wind out of the overtly spiritual seeking sails, if you will. I stopped thinking that I could figure things out. I stopped being driven by, if I could just figure this out, then I'll be okay. It just kind of like melted away. It used to feel like a very hard line between the me inside and the world outside. I began to find God everywhere, find being, love, however you want to talk about it, everywhere, inside and outside. It was all one big ocean of grace. And, in that I began to rediscover some of the things that I had pushed away and left unseen and in the shadows from some of my necessary escape from Christianity and the church in particular. And so I've done a lot over the last several years since 2016. It's been a lot about shadow work for me. It's been a lot about uncovering things that I don't consciously notice, things that in my body, things in my emotional landscape that are more under the surface. Did a lot of therapy, did a lot of different techniques of shadow work and all kinds of stuff. And life circumstances have just also really played their toll over the last several years. Really cleaning out the attic, you know what I mean? And the basement and all the pipes. So church suddenly, not suddenly, very gradually actually, was becoming less and less caustic for me, less and less triggering and toxic. And I began to notice that, wow, when you don't have church, you don't do a lot of the things that we got to do when we had church. We did singing together. Just somebody sincerely wishing you grace and peace week after week. There's something really beautiful about that. Somebody looking you in the eyes and telling you that you're enough in one way or another. You know, offering you the Eucharist and saying, I went to a Methodist church a week or two ago, and the person, my favorite part of the whole service was the person who was a volunteer or whatever serving the communion, looked into my eyes and just said, Jesus loves you, in like this really beautiful, sincere way. And it really was moving. And I was like, I love that. I love getting together, making ritual together, doing, and I've looked for that in meditation groups and ecstatic dances and mushroom ceremonies and wherever, you know, like all sorts of different places through the years. And what I found is that there really aren't any circles of people that I've been able to find that aren't people that ego doesn't get involved and power dynamics don't start happening and somebody wants it to be all about them. Like, there's no like clean group of people that I've found. And I looked. And it gave me a little more grace for the church, honestly. I'm like, I love so much about, we did a whole podcast season on all these possible non-dual treasures to be found within Christendom. And I started falling in love with it again for more of an idea space and like a possibility space, but I still hadn't really fallen in love with the local church again. That makes sense. Like, I love the people, but the idea of like getting together and in a church context was still a little bit unsexy. So I've been lately though more curious about it and have visited several churches and have enjoyed the experiences. But what I've found, and here's why I put the post up, because it's easy to find a church in the United States of America from my experience. Just walk a couple of blocks in a populated area, you'll find a church. But what I've found is there tends to be, let's just get a little black or a little dualistic with it, because of course it's not going to fit into a binary. But to put it into a binary, I found generally there's churches that are either conservative on the theological / kind of life, you know, political, you know, not affirming of gay people, thinking that you have to believe one specific thing to be in, and you know, or else you're kind of on the outs with God, whether that's hell or just you don't quite have it right, any degree of that sort of rigidness on the theological side. And on that side of things, I've noticed they tend to innovate a lot as far as how do we get together, the nature of our liturgy, the nature of the kind of music we're making, the kind of, you know, if you go to a charismatic Christian service, it'd be way more likely, in my experience, to be like, you know what, tonight, guys, we're just going to do something totally different. We're going to whatever, you know. We're going to go sit outside in the trees. I don't know. I feel like there's more innovation in what we do when we're together, and there's more openness to newness, strangely, than a lot of the more progressive theological churches that I've been to, where there might be openness to, yeah, if you fall outside of the norm with your sexuality or your gender or your identity in any way, you're welcome here. But then as far as like, but where do the flowers go on Sunday morning? Well, no, do not dare question. That's where the flowers go. And this is the song we're doing. We've been doing this song for 90 years and it goes like this. And this is how it's like the actual liturgy, the actual way that they're getting together is where the rigidness I found comes in. I haven't found a denomination or even a church that is sincerely progressive with their liturgy and their theology. I found places, I visited places that, you know, might be more progressive than their counterparts in one or the other ways. But it seems using the broad brushes, if they're politically progressive, there seems to be using the broad brushes, if they're theologically progressive, meaning they're open to other ideas and other faiths and other, even, and not saying they need to like preach other faiths from their pulpits, but you know what I mean? Just openness to other people outside of the tribe. There doesn't seem to be either the funding or the openness to artistically innovating or creating beauty in the world in a way that is actually, I don't like the word relevant, but I don't know a better word, you know, right now, relevant to society, relevant to people's lives. I went a couple of the churches I went into visiting recently. I loved it theologically, and there was a beautiful kind of spirit about it, but it was just dead socially. I mean, there's only a few people in there, and I'm the young man, right? Like I'm a 43-year-old man now. I just turned 43. I'm a middle-aged man, but I came in and they're like, "Oh, young man, are you going to school around here or something?" It's like, guys, this is dying. This culturally isn't speaking to anybody in a way that resonates. Is there anywhere that has both of these values, like creating beauty in a way that actually speaks to people now? You know, when I go into a cathedral in Europe that's hundreds of years old, and I notice the art, the amount of money and energy and everything that they spent on creating that sense of, you walk in, there's that sense of wonder, that sense of beauty. But that was like a long time ago. You know? And you don't, even by the time you got to America churches, even the older churches in America, they didn't have that kind of money and energy to put it. The cathedrals here are not quite like they are in Europe. And that's made for a totally different time with a totally different set of everything. They didn't have sound systems back then. They didn't have science. They didn't have the development of music and art that we have today. They didn't have all the information that we have today. Back then, you needed to like give information out, and a lot of people didn't even know how to read. We don't have the same issues that they did. We might have the same basic human needs. And for that reason, that's why I think the church still has some sort of possible viability culturally, because we still do have the need to connect. We still do have a need for meaning and for ritual and all these things that the church can really do well. And that's part of what's interesting about why this post has gotten so much traction to me, is I don't think I'm alone here. I wasn't alone in needing to leave the current church and models of church that I had seen and experienced. But I'm also not alone in missing community. I'm also not alone in wishing that there was church that we could go to where I don't have to pick between shutting my mind off and shutting my heart off. Is there a place where I can keep all of it online, where I can keep my rational mind online, I can keep my aesthetic sensibilities online, where I can keep my sexuality online and my body as being valued and not shamed? Can I keep it all on? Can I keep my full humanity present and belong in your church? I think I'm not alone in that. And when some people have heard me talk about this, they're like, why didn't you just start your own thing? And I'm trying not to, honestly. I've done that before. I've started a church before. It's so hard. And I got a lot of things to do. It's not at the center of what I'm hoping to be, like putting my energy towards planting a church. It's just really not what I want to do right now. But I want to be part of something that's bigger than me. I want to be part of something where I can collaborate, where my gifts can be of use. And if I can't, my plan is to be looking for a place to plug in. And if I can't find a place, I probably will have to start something. If even that's just a house church or a forest circle, I don't know. But ideally, I find a place that's already doing this and just can get involved. That would be my preference, because I don't want to be like applying for 501c3s and calling venues and say, oh God, it's so much. But I just want to just notice again that the resonance of this post, I do think some of it is because there's been a lot of people who have followed my journey, and I kind of thought a lot of them had just lost interest. And I guess this is a new turn. I think I've possibly overestimated how much people care about theology and underestimated how much people care about church. Because I've, you know, in the last several years, as I've moved away from my not wanting to talk about Christ or God or any of that kind of stuff, and actually including it again in my podcasts and my music, being like, guys, I love God. And nobody really cared. To be honest, like those posts never did anything. I was like, oh, okay. I guess people just don't care about what I think about religion anymore or whatever. But then I put up this post about church and whoa, they care. So yeah, maybe I underestimated how much sort of that tribal we are the church thing was really what was behind even the theological objections that people were giving me. If it was more like you're leaving our team than it was I disagree with you. And that would make sense. It would just make sense. I don't know why that's surprising to me. And speaking of that team thing, there is one other thing that I want to acknowledge. I want to acknowledge that there are people who watched me deconstruct and leave church, and that that journey gave you permission in a weird way, that you felt less alone in being able to like fully own the questions that you had in your mind and fully make the, you know, to make the decisions that you needed to make to quit that job as a worship leader, to leave that church or whatever it was. And I want to acknowledge that it may be sort of even disappointing or triggering or I don't know, just upsetting in some way for me to go back. It's almost like for some of us, I know there's been we got out. Oh, and I've had people like, thank you for helping me get out. Oh my God. And I want to acknowledge that just because I'm curious about going back to church and looking for a place that I can be involved in, to try to make more beauty in the world with others and to be not just be doing it alone all the time. I don't want to put that on you. I know there's so many of you. I've seen so many beautiful comments, even in this one thread. You know, I remember one guy was talking about his church is on his farm, and he used to think he had to be inside church walls to feel God. And now he's learning to just like find God out working on the farm. And I'm like, yes, yes. Or the other people who are like, they're atheists now and they're happy not having to try to believe anything. And I was like, yes, good. Like I still honor everybody's journey. And the last thing I want is me going back to church and talking about it, making other people feel like I'm not on your team anymore or something, like that I've gone back to the dark side, which you of course are free to feel that. But I just want to, I guess, explicitly say I'm on your side still. Like I still honor every path, because who am I? Who am I to say what your path should be? That's the part of my belief system that I hope never comes back. Where I'm somehow the knowledgeable one to tell you what your path should be like. It's the most arrogant position possible. So I trust spirit or universe or you, whatever mythological framework you want to put it in, for your path to be exactly what it needs to be. Through all of my winding, searching, seeking through the years, what I finally saw through was the lack. That's the lie. The lie is I'm not enough as I am. That this moment's not enough as it is. Something wrong with it. There's something wrong with this. I need that. And so when I see you saying that you're an atheist, for me personally, I'm hearing the divine being an atheist. So there's no threat. There's no problem. There's no issue with life unfolding exactly as it's unfolding right now. So you get to be exactly as you are. I get to be exactly as I am. And if we get to find ways of doing it together for bits of time, beautiful. And it ends. All of it's temporary. The Christian church, which seems like this ancient, you know, power mammoth thing, is a wisp of vapor. It's just a little breath in the stars being observed apparently through a very subjective lens. And when we like really notice that, when we notice that all of these grand plans we have for church and for making the world better, it all just comes down to this moment, actually. And even not even this moment as we think about it, but just the unspeakable, ineffable mystery of this. And it's so overwhelmingly beautiful if we just let it be what it is, that it's kind of understandable why we shrink away from it by trying to make our plans and put in belief systems and constructs and rules and boundaries and no, don't move the flowers. They've been that way the whole time. But for now, could you just let a little bit more of it in? A little bit more of the splendor, the majesty, the glory, where everything becomes church, everything becomes Eucharist, everything becomes sacrament, everything becomes holy. It already is. If you're disappointed that I'm going to church again, that's okay. Be as disappointed as you are. If you're excited, if you're hopeful, and you think me going back to church might, maybe I'll find something and tell you about it, and you'll find something, whatever, okay. Let it be as hopeful as it feels. It's already whole and complete and beautiful and divine and holy. Grace and peace, love and mercy, bliss and whimsy be with you, my dear beloved.